This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes, sir!
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait. Let's
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, Bart Scott. Bart, give him the number, damn it.
1-800-919-3776. Get on it early. We had one game yesterday, but the NFL was on fire yesterday.
No, week seven. What a week seven it's been. It starts with Danny Dimes just falling down, like with what a meme that was. And then there's DK Metcalf, which is out of a cannon chasing. What a play that was, just watching that. And by the way, Parkey, you owe me money. You owe me money, Parkey. How do you miss an extra point? Are you kidding me? The difference between money in my pocket and a damn push of an extra point. Come on, Parkey. I got problems with kickers today.
You're but you know me, what? Bart,
by the way, if they can't get through on the line, how else can they get?
Oh, if they can't get through on the line, definitely hit us on a tweet at Barton Hahn. Mm-hmm. If you can't get us on a tweet, DM Allen at Barton Hahn on that gram. Mm-hmm. And then Bill, who's not feeling so well today, tell them where else they can reach us at.
Snapface, Instant Chat, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
He put Cam on Black Planet.
Yeah, that's a story, too. Rex Ryan's going to join us at noon, as he does every Monday, and that's one of the topics we'll discuss with him. And another one we'll discuss, of course, but briefly, because there's plenty more we can talk to Rex about. But I got to ask him, of course, about the Adam Gase stuff. As the Jets lose, again, this is 18-10 now, 0-7. The Jets, they had a lead, though. Breaking news, the Jets had a lead in
a
football game.
Can't wait.
In fact, they had a 10-point lead at one point. 10-0 as Dowell Loggins took over the play calling for Adam Gase. And when scripted, the Jets offense looked good. And then, of course, the adjustments happen. And once the adjustments happen, well, let's just be honest. The Jets did not react well to that.
Is that all you got? Yeah, that's about it.
Yep. No. Yeah, that's it. But you know what? Here's what I got, Bart. Because I watched you on the postgame show. And you are now, like, you're now, you know, you're part of the divorce couple that is in, you're basically sitting there, you and Chad Cascada and his fabulous hair. I mean, Chad's hair, by the way.
Man.
He's got some salad going, man. That's some serious.
He puts work in there, man. He has a type of brush that I've never seen before. He spins it and he makes his own waves and he drops it.
He spins it?
Yeah, it's like a tube with, like,
Fingers roll around and he drops it.
Yeah,
my wife uses that brush.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I'm watching you, and you have basically that emotional abandonment going on in your eyes. Like, you know, you're right now, you're in mediation, and you're just waiting to get out of this relationship. I can see it in your face. But I'm watching the postgame, and you know, in the beginning of the show, where you guys, it's sort of like this B-roll. You guys talk over it as players are walking off the field and all that stuff, and you all see that stuff. And the thing that struck me the most was there was Adam Gase walking off the field after an NFL game completely by himself. There's literally no one around him. Not even security, not even a PR guy, nothing. It's as if he was like, you know, just somebody on the staff just walking off the field. Like, he should have been carrying, you know, maybe some towels or something. Nothing in his hand, just walking up. And who greets him in the tunnel? Christopher Johnson. And the cameras show it. There's Christopher Johnson greeting him at the tunnel, and he pats him on the shoulder, and the two of them disappear into the darkness of the tunnel heading towards the locker room area, okay? and that's when I had it. Like, that was the moment where I just, because I'm watching the game, whatever. The defense did what they did. You'll break it all down, and you'll do it brilliantly like you did on the postgame show. I'll give you that opportunity, but just give me this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm watching this, and I'm basically saying, Christopher Johnson basically now doesn't have a head coach, and he knows it. And Adam Gase is now, if you're not coaching, if you're not basically playing, calling the plays, you're not a developing coach, you're not a teacher, and you're not a motivator or leader of men. So what the hell are you? You're nothing. You're just a guy now. And Christopher Johnson's not going to fire you. So instead, he feels bad, and he's patting you on the shoulder as if to say, hey, man, we'll get through this. It's okay. And I'm thinking, if I'm an owner, and I made this decision, and I spent this money on you, right? Because I believed in whatever crap you were selling me and whatever Peyton told me. I believed in all that stuff, and you failed me? Why am I patting you on the shoulder?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not in on this. So here's my first thing. Christopher Johnson, Woody Johnson, whoever it's, you guys should not make the next hire. If you want any fan to believe in anything you're doing from here on out, you should tell Joe Douglas to come in your office and say, Joe, take the wheel. Because we don't know what we're doing. We've made too many mistakes. Let's see what you can do. You must know people in this league. You must know what you want as a head coach. You find your next head coach. You take the wheel. We need someone to run this organization because it's rudderless right now. And no one's going to believe in this team. No one. Until you have somebody credible making decisions and bringing in a head coach that knows what the hell he's doing. Because we just went through a pandemic. Or we're still going through it. And people have lost a lot of money. And if you think people are going to spend money on PSLs and on seats to go in your building next fall to watch a team with a coach that we don't know if we can believe in this guy, that you hired, you're out of your mind. Nobody's spending money on a mediocre football team. Nobody. You've got to believe that, and all the teams in New York, the Knicks too. You think people are coming in your building to watch a losing team? Nobody can afford to do that anymore. It's cheaper to buy a better TV. It's cheaper to buy a Sonos bar that sounds pretty good. It's cheaper to just get some frozen stuff and throw it in the microwave and eat it instead of paying what you pay at a stadium. So if you think people are doing this in New York, you're crazy. You got to get it right. They need to be a lot more aggressive with what they're doing. Yeah. And so for Christopher Johnson to be standing there patting a coach, a losing coach who failed and a bad decision by you, patting him on the shoulder and walking him down, are you out of your mind? You think people want to see that? You're crazy. This is a business. You're going to lose money. You're going to lose fans. And you already have lost the confidence of your customers. That's a major problem. $75 million in cap space and a whole bunch of draft picks don't mean squat until you do something with it. And who's coming to coach this team? Because if you're Eric Bieniemy, you're not going anywhere near this. Why would you? Your first chance to coach, and you're going to come here? You're going to tell me that Jim Harbaugh is going to leave Michigan after what they did this weekend? Come on now. Let's get real. They have got to change their thinking there. And until they do, no one should believe in this franchise. No one should believe in what you're seeing out in that field. Now, I'm happy to watch Sam play. I'm happy to watch Perine, Mims, Becton. I'm happy to do that because I'm a lunatic who will continue to watch this team. But if you think people should spend money on your franchise with you making the decision on who should be head coach, you're going to continue to fail. That's all
now,
I got, Bart.
Now, here's the thing, right? It's a little thing that the Woodies have been doing since I was there. After the game, win or lose, they always stand there and they greet every player and every coach when they come in. So I don't know if Adam Gase was last or first, but that's been a tradition, whether it was Woody or Christopher. They always stand right there at the entrance where every player goes by and he shakes their hand and he pats them on the back. Now, with that being said, remember, he's fired three coaches that he shook their hand and patted them on the back, too. So this is not, I don't think that's a ringing endorsement for Adam Gase. And the fact that Adam Gase, you know, almost looked like he was about to cry when he was talking about giving up play calling, and he hasn't done it since in 7 years, and it was preseason, kind of let you know that that was forced on him. And when you look at what Darryl Liggins was doing and what he was, you know, trying to do early on inside of the beginning of the game, you saw something that you didn't see from Adam Gase or rarely ever saw. You saw shifts and motions. It was giving the Buffalo Bills a lot of problems because it also gave Sam Darnold the answers to the test, whether it was man or zone. And so that was a next step to it. And then they decided to go with the zones, and Sam was eating them up. He went to the well too often. You know, he threw that bad interception, went for it on fourth down. You know, they left some plays on the field. But, you know, when I look at Mims and I look at what Perine did, that gives me some pause to say, you know what? Mims did look good. He didn't look as good as Chase Claypool, but then again, Ben Roethlisberger is ahead of the process, has more pieces that he needs to allow a guy like Chase Pool to kind of look good. But Mims looked big, he looked fast, and he looked like he knew what he was doing as far as sitting in zones. You know, now he had a couple targets. He made four receptions, had, I believe, like, you know, 41 yards. That's solid. Perriman did that. So now I'm imagining in my head, what does that look like? Maybe potentially with Crowder in the slot. And Becton looked like, I mean, he's still injured, and he was dominant. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody wanted any smoke over there. So with that being said, we know that we have some fundamental foundational pieces.
Quinnen Williams had a strong game, too, by the way.
Yeah. Quinnen Williams, who everybody keeps wants to trade, which I have no freaking idea. Why would you want to trade a dude that's only in his second year, just got braces taken off his teeth? That's how young he is. And you want to get rid of him after the second year. I tell you what. With as good as Becton looked and as good as you know, P. Ryan looked, I thought he should have got more carries. I mean, he only had 11 carries and was averaging 3.5 yards a carry. That's the kid I want to see with 20. That's the problem I have. They only ran the ball 22 times.
Yeah.
They should have ran the ball north of 30 times.
Now, P. Ryan was out for 34 snaps, which is way more than Gore. Gore had 16. Gore had got more production out of his carries. P. Ryan had 11 carries for 39 yards, but he did have that touchdown, which was
He shows you that quickness that he can get mm-hmm. to the corner. So I'm excited about that, right? What I'm not excited about is Greg Van Roten, Connor McGovern, and Alex Lewis. All of them got to go. I'm so happy they're on one-year deals. I mean, you talk about stinking it up.
Alex Lewis playing hurt.
Alex wasn't playing, but listen, I've watched Alex play ever since he was with Baltimore. It's always been an excuse that he can't stay healthy.
Okay.
But when I watch him play, I much rather him be on the sideline, you know, trying to heal up because he's doing us a favor. You know, I mean, he's just not a good player, and I don't think he's a starting level. When you have such a dominant left tackle on that side, you got to give him a equal dominant left guard. So I think, you know, they're going to have to try and fix something. I would like to see Adoga put in there. Right, I mean, if you think Adoga is a guy that can play right tackle, left tackle, then he should be able to hold up against pass protection on the inside, knowing that he has Becton protecting him on that side, and see if he's just strong enough and big enough to be able to move guys, you know, from in there. Because, you know, when you talk about guards, they got to be strong guys. So with that being said, I know they're excited about some of the pieces that they don't have. Right, I know they're excited about two more of their draft picks, and that's what we want to see. So I think. That I was, and listen, this is because I'm coming from, like, how do you go from awful to just bad, and bad seems good? You know how, like, Baker Mayfield was saying 4-2 feels like 0-4?
Right.
Well, you know, that performance yesterday and the fact that I didn't get laughed out of the stadium because it wasn't a blowout made me feel like, okay, even though the second half was horrible, I get it.
It's 4 yards, Bart. 4 yards. Like, I can't understand why you would even say that. You were embarrassed in the second half. You weren't even capable in
the second
half.
I was embarrassed.
Your defense held up in the red zone, but other than that,
that's why. Because the defense, because you know, it's a team, right? So
they gave up 422 yards, though. It's not like the defense was dominant.
But they bowed their neck against an opponent that was coming. You know what I mean? So I'm excited to try and see what happens when I want to see this Bryce Hall guy. You know what I mean? He's been injured. You know what I mean? I really was a fan of his in college. So I want to see what these other draft picks look like. Because if Hall can play and you got yourself a corner, then you can say, you know what? Maybe next year with a draft, it won't look as bad. And I want to see what it looks like with all the pieces. But one thing I'm 100%, 1,000% sure of, Henry Anderson got to go. And every guard from guard – from guard to guard, got to go.
And Phillips got hurt, and he was taking a lot of Anderson's work, too, there for a minute.
Yeah.
Kyle Phillips, right?
Yeah, Kyle Phillips, who they made a trade for from the Rams last year.
He's going to be out for the season, and he was starting to emerge a little more, taking more of Anderson. But you're right about that stuff, what you're seeing there. Look, as we know, there's a lot of holes, there's a lot of issues with the roster, which is why I'm not so focused on what I'm seeing on the field. I'm at that point now, Bart, where if you're a Jets fan, again, 800-919-3776, I'm watching. I want to see Sam. He's sacked 6 times, 4 in the second half, and I do wonder as I watch him. And I understand the offensive line, you know, was getting leaky. It was giving up a lot of pressure, right? In the first half, it looked different. Second half, you could see the offensive line was wore down. And they were making a lot of mistakes, and Sam was starting to get hit a lot.
Yeah.
But does he have that sixth sense where he can feel pressure coming? Because it does seem like he does get kind of statuesque at times, where he just stays there, where you're saying to yourself, get the hell out of there, man. Like, shouldn't there be that instinct of, don't the great quarterbacks, even when they're young, have that sense when there's somebody about to, you know, that whatever it is,
but
that somebody's about to, they're closing in on you, and you know, I got to move. There's a little voice that tells you, get out of here.
Let me tell you what they were doing. What they were doing is they were setting the edges so he couldn't get out, and then they were blitzing up the middle. And because of the middle is so leaky, it's nowhere for him to escape. He can't run. All he can do is run backwards. But if you run backwards, then you're going to take a sack for 15, 20 yards like Flacco did the other day when he did a pirouette twice and lost 18 yards. See, so what they were doing is they were getting high up the field, knowing they couldn't beat Becton. So they were getting high up the field on both edges and then just bringing two blitzers from the inside or blitzing from the outside, not allowing him to escape. And he couldn't step up because the guards are getting their ass kicked up the middle. So it's kind of how you blitz. It's how you blitz like Lamar Jackson, is how you blitz Kyler Murray. You blitz him up the middle, but you can't even, you tell your defensive ends, don't even think about it. Stay there and make sure that he can't escape.
All right,
and so Sam just had to eat it because they couldn't separate. That's why I want to see
so you
what
don't
happens.
Think it's the same. All right, so again, because I'm not going to keep falling back on this with, you know, again, more than half the season to go, and Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields now emerging as another name everybody's excited about at Ohio State, you know, with the draft coming up, and you're going to have a very high pick,
like,
if not the number one pick.
Quarterbacks.
I know you're right. I want to make sure that Sam is my guy.
Yeah.
And so when I'm watching, I'm almost trying to find things wrong with him so that I feel like I'm not looking at it through rose-colored glasses. So you're telling me that as I'm watching this, I'm thinking Sam's got to have a feel
sometimes,
for this and get out of there. You're saying it's not
really
gotta
eat. Sometimes he just got to eat. And what happens is if he just throws it, it's intentional grounding because they're keeping him inside the tackle box because they were getting up and getting the quarterback depth and not going past it. And when they were getting from quarterback depth, it was because it was some type of slot blitz. So then he can't escape that way, so he can't get out the opposite side. And the interior was just so leaky, man. The weakness of this offense is the two guards in the center. And these are guys that we brought in, and we thought they were going to be upgrades. I think Jonathan Harrison was a much better center last year up the middle than what these guys are doing. But, you know, we're still hoping. We want to see what Cameron Clark looks like because he was a captain from Charlotte.
Right.
And he was a guy that we thought that maybe he was a steal. I want to see what Jabari Zanuniga or whatever his name is looks like. You know what I mean? From Florida, because they talk about this kid in such a high regard that I want to see what this is what the season is about for me.
Yes.
You know, I want to see now, hopefully, Perriman, you know, he got hit with the night sick. Hopefully, he's not going to be in a concussion protocol. And then we can see him, Mims, and Crowder
out there. Can't keep Perriman on the field. It's so, and that's a tough hit, obviously.
That was a dirty hit. I was surprised he didn't get ejected.
You saw that as a dirty hit. And I know it was a personal foul, but.
Well, he was defenseless, and he led and he launched himself. So, you know, it's not like he came and he wrapped him up. And see, like, it's different when you wrap him up and you hit him with your shoulder.
Yeah, he turned shoulder.
Because you
got
to hit him with your shoulder. Right. Mm-hmm. He launched and hit him with his helmet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I was surprised that he didn't get ejected because of a defenseless, you know, receiver, and he launched himself and left his feet. So, I mean, I want to see, like, I know I'm crazy, man, but I want to see, just like I got inspired a little bit by what I saw from the Giants, because what happens is you have to look at the small things and see what they'll look like if you make small and subtle improvements. You know, so I saw some good things from Mims and how difficult he is to match up and how fast he is and how big he is. You know what I mean? He ran and he reminded me of Braylon Edwards.
But that's
the way he ran.
That's another issue that I had. And I can't believe, what grade did you give the offense yesterday on the postgame show?
Did you dare go B minus? I gave him B minus.
Come on, man. Now, one throw over 20 yards. One by Sam.
Yeah.
You've got Mims, who we all know, he's got speed. Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Perriman, when he was out there, he has speed. Yes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not once? Am I going to try to go, like, stretch the field a little bit?
You really
And the tight ends were never targeted.
But Herndon caught one.
You caught one. Right. You would think, so there's your underneath, and then you get guys that, like, nothing. Everything is these short passes.
But remember.
And you now have to do the work, yards after catch.
Because guess what? Guess why they were having success running the ball? Because they were in cover two. So in cover two, that's a seven-man box. That means it's light. That means they have. That means you can go as deep as you want. The safeties are already over the top. And remember,
okay,
they
had the run stopped in the second half. You couldn't run in the second half
because they start blitzing up the middle. So then you didn't have enough time to get it down there because you couldn't hold up. They start blitzing the interior. So what happens is you now. So they stopped them first when they couldn't get it there because they had two top safeties. You know, remember High and the other safety are two of the best safeties in the game. Right, yes. So you're not gonna beat them. They're not gonna get beat over the top in this cover two. Right, that's why he was able to fit that deep ball. Remember that ball, first one he threw over the top, and it was a perfect pass.
Yeah.
Right to Berrios. Right, but then he tried to do it again, and the guy sloughed off. Yeah, because he was a squat corner, and he went off and did it. But then they switched the whole thing up and started going man to man and start blitzing up the middle, so those routes couldn't materialize down the field.
You're
so like that's so that's kind of what it is. You know what I mean?
That's why they were able to.
Run the ball
but that's
half.
Why I ask. That's why I ask these questions because you have the answers for them, and that's what I expect.
I'm
watching it as an amateur,
an
saying, "Why is this not happening?" And you just explained to me why, which brings me back to again how okay. So there's not enough talent here. That's fine. But now I'm still, as I'm sitting here, I want to watch the young guys. That's all I care about now. But I am worried about the future of the franchise. Not because I don't think they have talent in the young players, and not because I don't trust Joe Douglas. It's because I don't trust the Johnsons. Whether Woody comes back, let's just say if there's a change in the White House and he comes back as the owner next season, or if Christopher Johnson remains the guy in charge, I don't have faith in whatever they're going to do going forward with head coach if they don't change their ways. And I've been saying this for years. I had the chance to ask Woody this. Why do you have to do it this way when you guys clearly are just not good at making football decisions? You haven't made a good one since you hired Rex Ryan.
Right.
Haven't.
Well, Bowles was all right, too. But here's the thing, though, right?
Well, you know what? Bowles was fine. His GM was not. So, like, they never have gotten it right.
So remember, this is what I think is going to take place. I think that Joe Douglas is going to make the next hire. And it doesn't matter because he's going to make the next hire.
You believe Joe's going to be the guy that makes the hire for the
Yes. Remember they had Charlie Casserly make the last hire. And that's why we got stuck
And Ron Wolf. And thanks for that, guys.
Yeah, but now Joe Douglas is going to be able to make his own hire, right? Now, whether the reporting is one or another, they're going to get the coach right. And it's going to be somebody that Joe Douglas won. I think that Joe Douglas is going to make that hire because they're not going to have a search firm go out and make a hire and they end up getting somebody that they know. Like, did you think that the other people had a chance? I mean, they hired a dude that worked for Charlie Casserly when he was with the Houston Texans. So, you know what I mean? So,
I know.
But this time, Joe Douglas is going to hire his guy. Now you're going to have that synergy that you thought you were going to have with Gase and Douglas, but Gase didn't hold up his end of the bargain. So now Joe Douglas gets to go out and hire his coach, and now he's going to be tied at the hip with this coach because it's his guy.
It's amazing to think that the best contribution Adam Gase will have made to the Jets in his tenure was Joe Douglas.
Exactly.
And if that's his legacy and Joe Douglas winds up building a team that wins a Super Bowl, then fine. I will change my thinking about the Adam Gase era. But right now, he is no longer coaching this team. He's just a guy who's getting paid, and they're not letting him just walk. You know, they're not letting him stay home and get paid. They're going to make him finish this thing, take every L on his record, and yet he's really – the Jets don't have a head coach anymore. Let's get some Jet calls in here at 800-919-3776. Let's begin with Mike in Brooklyn. What up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? I have an idea about the Jets that may help them. Now, please let me know if I'm going off the rails.
Oh, we will.
Here's my idea. What the Jets need is a president of football operations.
Agreed.
Someone to run that team underneath the owners, underneath the Johnsons, and just above the GM.
I think they have one, by the way. I think they have one.
Yeah. Now, The person that I would put in that position would be someone like Bill Cowher, a solid coach who has won Super Bowls. He knows how to pick talent, and he knows how to set a culture in a franchise. What do you think of that?
Now, listen, I know Bill would probably take that, you know, because Bill loves living, living here in New York with his wife, V. He's right around the corner. That's something that he wouldn't have to come in on. But, you know, he's making a lot of cheese on his taco at CBS, man. He'll never have to lose that job. So he's happy because he only has to realistically work 24 times a year, and he gets a multi-million dollar check for talking once a week for 24 for 17 for 17 games and two playoff games. 19
you had that
games.
Experience too. You know, yeah. You know how cozy that is,
man. That's some cool. That's some cozy stuff, man.
Yeah.
You get all your money in 2 months. Like, damn, 3 months. You're like, I can pay for the whole year in 2 months. Oh hell yeah,
I'll take that, right?
Yeah, but well, I still think I do like that. You know.
Can Joe become that? Like, couldn't? I mean, I'm telling you, Chris.
No,
Johnson, if you're listening,
Joe's a general manager.
No, he's a general manager. What I'm saying is, Christopher Johnson, if you're listening, and somebody's listening for you, so please, somebody send this to him. And I beg of you, if you want to appeal to your fan base, if you want people to really believe in you, stop trying to prove how much you know and what you can do and, oh, I'll learn and all that stuff. I mean, saying I'm going to learn about football so I can make leadership decisions is like if I took over Johnson & Johnson and said, I'll figure out pharmaceuticals. You know, like it doesn't happen at that level. So just understand, if you decided to say, you know what we're going to do? We're going to change it up because for 20 years we've tried it this way and it's not really working. We need one football guy to be our lead voice, our face. He doesn't have to be a dynamic guy. He just has to be a smart guy who's learned from some of the best. Oh, who would that be? You have him in your own place, Joe Douglas.
You know,
so let him be that guy and step aside and say, Joe, you got the wheel, man. We'll support you. You tell us what you need. We'll provide you the resources. But all decisions are final and made by you. Why can't you just do that in this case and let him find his coach and just step aside? Owners have to understand the fans will love you if you do one thing. Stay out of the way and write a check. That's what they want. And you will be loved forever if you do that.
You know who else might take that job? And just like as a consultant, you pay him, you know, a couple $1 million a year. Ozzie will take that. Ozzie will take
really?
That.
Really?
Ozzie don't want to be involved. You know,
I think Joe knows Ozzie, doesn't he?
Yeah, he got his island down there. He already has Joe Ortiz. He has Phil Savage on there as well for the college scouting. That's why I think the draft was so good. Mm-hmm. He has Phil Savage there. But after that, you know, give Ozzie a couple $1 million, man. Ozzie will email you some stuff.
I like it. Let's take Mike in New Jersey. What's up, Mike?
What's up, guys? What's up, guys?
How you doing?
Two things, all right? Well, first, how do we get a good idea of what Sam Darnold could be when defenses are coming in and almost blitzing on every down because our line is so bad? And then the second one was the hit on Perryman, man. That was really ugly.
By Hyde, yeah.
If we were to ever go back to, I know we're not going to, but if we were to ever go back to, like, leather helmets, you think we would still be seeing those head-hunting hits? Thank you, guys.
No, not at all. And that's a great point because what happens is the reason why that, you know, I think that guys lead with their head more is because of the technology. Now, I had one of the last ones before I played, they outlawed my helmet saying I couldn't wear it because it had literally no protection. And it was like the least graded helmet. But what happened is because of that, I didn't lead with my helmet. I always hit with my shoulders. So, you know, you got a lot of guys now, you have these helmets with these like airbags inside of them and they're super heavy. They're much heavier than the old traditional ones, and guys use those as a weapon because they know that their head is going to be protected. So if you take less protection, I think you rate the helmets less. I think it'll be less accidents because guys won't go with the helmet to helmet.
I would hate to, you know what, thanks for the call, Mike. The only thing you worry is that because there's some players, because you're wearing that helmet, are so accustomed to playing a certain way.
Yeah.
That how bad do you think the injuries would be in the outset until there was the adjustment made?
Well, I don't know. I just know I had one concussion or mild concussion my entire career, and it's because I didn't use my head as a weapon. A lot of guys use it as a weapon because they're upset and they're trying to hurt people. But if you know you're gonna hurt yourself and knock yourself out, you saw that happen with Buda Baker yesterday. He thought he was the hammer, but he didn't realize he was the nail. He came through, tried to hit old boy from Seattle, and he knocked himself out. He had to go into the tent. But he had a clear shot, but he forgot that dude outweighs him by 30 pounds. So good luck with that.
Let's take Glenn in Brooklyn. Hey, Glenn.
Han, my man.
What's
and
up?
Mr. Can't Wait himself. What's going on, man? Me and Han, we have the same pain of the Knicks and the Jets and things like that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get straight to my point. Sam Darnold, he made a statement over the weekend about he can't control the Trevor Lawrence talk. Yes, you can. Just play better. You play better, you can squash that Trevor Lawrence talk. Because he looked good in the first half, and then once they figured out and switched the scheme up, he looked horrible again. So I like.
He sounded frustrated after
guys.
The game, Glenn. I'll tell you what. He sounded frustrated after the game when he said how the Bills made good adjustments, and he's like, "I think we have to adjust to their adjustments." And Bart, didn't that sound like he was calling out? That does sound like you're calling out the coaching. That doesn't sound like he's saying I have to adjust. He's saying our plays have to adjust.
Yeah, we have to adjust to what they're doing because I told you they changed the scheme up. They went from a zone and they start pressuring him up the middle and setting the edges so he couldn't escape. And they didn't adjust to it, whether it was getting out of the box, you know, creating the bunches closer to him so they can get him on rollouts and boots and throwbacks. And that's the thing. Like, you got to be able to adjust in this league because offensive coordinators and defense coordinators are too smart. If you can't just give them a steady dose, they'll figure out something strategically to try and fix it.
Let's take Phil and Mawa. Phil.
What's up, Bart? What's up, Hon? How you guys doing?
What's going on, man?
Maintain it.
I got a couple questions. I'm sitting there watching Brady with time. You're telling me Sam Darnold, if he had time, he couldn't carve up defenses if he had some players around him, Bart?
Of course.
Or we lost with this guy right now?
I don't think we're lost.
Great question.
I think that he just needs help, man. You saw Baker Mayfield last year when they didn't have the tackles get destroyed. And now you're seeing him play a little bit better simply because they can protect them and you can make adjustments. And, you know, every player is going to have bad plays. But then when you feel like you're running for your life and you're getting hit every time you drop back, then you start losing your fundamentals, like throwing off your back foot. I mean, we were watching Tampa Bay yesterday and they were showing, like, early on how Brady was struggling because he was throwing off his back feet because they were getting so much pressure on him. And, you know, when the Bears were playing him. But then now, because he has so many weapons and now they're figuring out the protections, they're running the ball better, now he's able to. It happens to the best of them. So you got a guy that's, you know, here in his third year, and he can't get protection to even let things materialize down the field. And sometimes, guess what? The defense wins. And those are the plays where you just got to eat it. But it seems like the defense wins so much that he doesn't have a separation.
Yeah, I would say that's probably, you know what, and thanks for the call, Phil. I do feel like for Sam, because of the previous caller said, the Trevor Lawrence pressure, the losing, and then the fact that there are plays where you just have to literally just, that's it, we have to throw this one away. But Sam's like, I got to do something. So now he's starting to almost try to do things and make magic happen where magic isn't there. And so I think he's caught sort of in that vortex where damned if I do and damned if I don't. And I can understand that mentality and the concern that he has. But Spike in New Jersey, our good friend, he has a different take on Sam. What's up, Spike?
Hey, fellas.
So what do you think?
Yeah, we got to cool the music. Okay. Well, Sam looks scared to me, and I have a routine that goes on during the Jet games. You know, and a lot of people do it. We switch right over. I have DirecTV, so 6:39 to see Bart's reaction, which are priceless. You're just so good at it, Bart, and I have nothing to gain by telling you that. And
yes, you do. You get to go in a circle of trust, Spike. That's what happens when you give me all my flowers.
Well, you still owe me a Mason impression. But anyway, here's what I see. And I called the post game with Buttle and Danny. And I go, what was the time of possession in the second half? I'm asking it rhetorically. It was 5 minutes or something. 4 yards. Sam just looks like he has no time. We understand that. But you can do things better with no time. Did you watch, what's the guy you like from Wyoming? My memory's going.
Josh Allen.
Yeah, okay. So Josh Allen, if you noticed, it was a good lesson for Danny Dimes. I'm all over the place. But when he threw the ball out of bounds, it was an hour. I mean,
yeah, he threw it into the stands is what you're saying, right? When he threw it out, when he threw it away. Right.
So, the dude got a cannon, though.
Yes.
What? Yes, 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 yes. But what I'm saying is after 2 or 3 years, Sam has not shown much improvement to me. He looks scared when he's playing. Now, he may be hurt. And his decision-making, you just shouldn't be able to do this with the 10 or 15 scripted plays, run down, go down the field, and they make some errors. And look, I understand what's going on. And you keep the coach because you don't want to lose the draft pick. That's the way it seems. I'm not trying to be a wise ass. You just keep him because they're not going to win with this guy. They'll find ways to lose. The kicker missed a couple of field goals, but there's something about him from the first half. watched it real quickly, first half to second half, and that's night and day, fellas. You can't have a dichotomy any more obvious than what he did in the second half. Is it coaching? Is it the way Sam played? Is it that time? I was trying to time it in my head, one Mississippi, two Mississippi.
He was under three seconds to set up.
But it was the adjustments. And listen, remember how good Joe looked. I mean, look. Remember how good Sam looked when he was under Bowles. What's his name?
Ty Bowles.
Yeah, Ty Bowles. Remember how he looked at the end and what he did when he went against Aaron Rodgers and how great he looked when Houston couldn't get to him. But the weapons around him were so much better, right? Because that was a team that was still trying to win and was in the process. So now you're starting all over with a team that's trying to find itself. Remember, like, this team was supposed to have a left guard. Could you imagine if Asimile was next to next to Becton right now? What kind of left side that would be? How great he looked at Kansas City. If he would have still been on the team, that left side would be dynamic. That's where they're getting beat at. They have no guards. Their guards are horrible.
Thank you, Spike. Appreciate it. It's good to hear from you. We've said it. There's a lot.
They got it right. But then the whole fallout with Asimile and Asimile going to get surgery and Asimile not being healthy. That's what it was. Because you imagine Becton and Asimile next to each other. What a dynamic, mean left side that would be with two goons.
You got to get, and for Sam, I think he's just, it's such a tough spot, but it's also very hard to evaluate him, which makes this again continue to become that debate. By the way, second half, 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Time of possession, 8 minutes. That's unbelievable. It doesn't matter what walk of life you're from. This is one of those rare songs that no matter who you are and what your background is, if this song will make you crazy.
And I think he explained what this song was about, right? Is he actually saw his, because his wife actually cheated on him with the architect. In real life.
Wait, you heard this story?
Yeah. She cheated on him with the architect or some stuff, right? She ran off with the architect. So this is him basically, this story is about that. This is really a dark thing, but, you know, we don't listen to that. We just listen to...
Oh, the drum solo is insane. Yeah, it's insane.
When that happens, somebody can die. Like, this is a dangerous song, man, because it gets you to those tribal, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
I'd be ready to kill somebody, man.
Exactly.
Like, most people think you got to listen to Lil
people
Jeezy,
think though, people think
Tupac.
People think that this was about like how he saw a friend of his drown and the guy who like let him drown. He invited him to his show and he sang it to him or something like that, which is obviously
his wife was an adulteress.
But this was actually about what was going on in his divorce. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, see, you ain't think a black brother from Detroit would go
listen,
deep into
listen,
the South.
Don't deep you into go the racist South. On
no, no,
me.
Talk,
it ain't
no,
about
that.
Them.
No, I'm talking about
I know
them.
What you're about.
I'm
I know
about
you
them.
Know this
I'm
stuff.
Talking about they. I'm talking about they, the people out in radio land. They was like, how did he know that? I go deep with my field guy.
You don't think
you know
I blow
people
people's,
almost killed?
You don't think I blow people's mind when I tell them about stuff?
They're
like, how's this white guy from the suburbs know stuff like that?
Let me tell you, the greatest term you can get in the hood, you know, for white guys, they call you white chocolate. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
they never got that. You are white chocolate, man. Cheddar Bob, all that stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Hun. I'm probably more closer to Cheddar Bob than I am white chocolate.
They call you mayo. So, like, the terms of endearment.
Mayonnaise.
You know what I'm saying? White boy Rick, they add white boy to anything. That's your name. Like,
that's all right.
White boy Hun. Or they go Cheddar Bob. Or they go Young Mayo. You know what I'm saying? Those are all terms of endearment. Or they call you white chocolate, man. You know what I'm saying? That's
all right, well, you know what they're calling me right now on social media?
Sweet jumper.
I did have a sweet jumper. All right, so Kyrie put out his sneakers, right? The Kyrie 7s. And the picture that is up of them, they are blue and orange. I saw it, and I'm like, why are these blue and orange? And people like are telling me they're not orange, they're yellow. Bart?
I'm trying to find him.
So now this has become basically is the dress blue or gold for me. Like, this is now, it's official.
You know they say men see colors different.
Maybe.
I'm looking
at these, and I do not see yellow. This is orange.
I can't
And he's
find
trolling.
Him,
and I still might buy them because they are pretty fire, actually. I can't
find them.
Go on my Twitter. It's also on Barton Hahn right now. You can decide because Michael Nieves helped us out.
Yeah, we need
see, Anthony says orange. Kyrie's I probably will buy them, unfortunately.
You ain't buying nothing. We're going to call it a J. Will. This is people that got people in high places. We don't pay for stuff, son. What we going to do, we're going to call J. Will.
Jordan used to take care of me when Melo was a Nick.
Right. We going to tell
those
J.
Are
Will.
Not yellow. That's
we going to tell J. Will because I footprinted him last week. You know what I'm saying? He had the two fake, and I filled in for him. Footprints, you know what I'm saying, what good teammates do.
True.
So he owed my boy some Kyrie. So he going to call Kyrie.
Somebody's saying they're Warriors colors. They ain't Warriors colors, man. Look at these things. They're orange, man. Like, he's trolling us. I love
it. He is, man. You know,
I do like him, though. I gotta admit, though, I do love these are.
Kyrie always has some fire.
Yeah,
I
like.
I got the Bruce Lees up there.
I hate myself. I hate myself for loving these.
Oh, bro, these are orange, man.
That is. See, you agree too. They're orange. Everybody that's telling me that they are like they're yellow, you're out of your mind.
Bro,
oh no, the Golden State Warriors. Why would Kyrie have Golden State Warriors colors? Stop it!
Yeah, these are orange, bro.
They're just messing with me right now. Messing with me. All right, it's Barton Hahn, and we are driven by the Lexus ES, now available with all-wheel drive, giving you control and confidence. Take on almost anything, including wet leaves on your pavement today. Man, be careful,
man,
everybody.
I got to start retreating.
Experience
from
amazing.
Own account, man. What I be doing?
See your Lexus dealer. Yeah, what are you doing, by the way? Because I tweet stuff at you, nothing, no response. Crickets.
You're worse than
DiPietro. Rick doesn't even – he just looks at Twitter. He never tweets.
I don't know nothing about – you know what I'm saying? I'm retweeting everything right now, son. I'm on it.
Get on it, man. You got to be a little more active. But we're going to start.
You're making me woke now.
I am. We're going to start doing – I'm telling you, that's our thing. We are going to definitely do, like, the Miami Vice stuff. Like, Halloween was big. You understand now, my previous relationship, my previous radio relationship, this was when we did it – on Halloween, we did a show at a bar in Long Island. And we were – Rick went as Hillary and I went as Trump.
Oh, that's dope.
It was hilarious.
I want to go as Bernie Sanders. Because I want to have a fake bald spot. You know what I'm saying? I want to have a bald spot. And I want to have thinning hair. And I want the glasses. Man, I want to go as Bernie Sanders, man. Like, Bernie Sanders is like a cool old dude that's cool to hang around.
Larry David. You see, don't mistake.
Yeah, he looks like Larry David.
But Larry David's like Larry the cool David. Old guy. Like,
he
he's
looks
the
like
cool
Larry David.
Guy.
But he looks like Larry David.
It was like, Rick and I had a blast. So that was Rick going as Hillary was, and he went all out too, full on like just cross dressing. It was unbelievable.
So he had a kilt on like Roddy Roddy Piper.
He went, like I said, he went all in, and it was quite the show.
I've always wondered what it felt like to kind of wear a dress or a kilt.
Phrasing.
Well, I mean, a kilt is just, you know,
but it's,
I mean,
like
it's very manly. It's very manly.
Yeah, but
like, you have the build for it. If you put you would rock a kilt. Like, you would definitely, you would destroy, like, you'd put on a kilt and people are like, yeah, that looks good. I put it on and people are like, what are you doing?
That's because you're so tall. You're at that point, like, when you're over 6'4", like, it just, everything looks so long.
My problem is, it's the 38-inch inseam. That's my problem. It's the long-ass legs. And then, like, you know, it's not, I'm not exactly like Quadzilla.
We give you the tights like a ballerina. You know what I'm saying? we give you the tights.
Brishnikov all of a sudden. Yeah, that'll look good.
We need to give you the tights like the Mr. T like type tights. Remember him and Hulk Hogan was wrestling and stuff, and you give him like the pouch, the fanny pack. You know what I'm saying, with all your keys and stuff in it.
I'm leaping Lanny Poffo in that whole thing. That's what I am, man.
Let's get to the call.
Yeah, let's go. 800-919-3776. Let's go with Dennis in New Jersey. Dennis.
Hey.
Yeah.
What up, Dennis?
What's up, guys? I got a quick question here. I love Sam. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But I got a dream scenario. You guys let me know what you think. We take the number one pick. We take, obviously, Trevor Lawrence. Then we spend some of that money. We get him Kenny Galladay. Maybe make a trade for Julio or sign T.Y. You got Crowder and T.Y. in the middle, Mims and Galladay on the outside, and then you draft ATN and a couple guards in the draft. What do you think?
I mean, that's not bad, man. I mean, Galladay is a beast, and you know,
got to make him want to come here, though.
Well, Galladay's going to be the odd man out. He's got to be coming up for a contract pretty soon. They got to know they can't pay him. They got him because then CeeDee Lamb is right behind him. They've already paid Cooper. They're going to have to spend a lot of money next year addressing their offensive line. You know, they got Martin. They got Tyron Smith. Tyron Smith's getting long in the tooth. He can't stay healthy. You know, yeah. He may be on his way out. So I think, listen, we can go out and get the best guard out there, the best center, and I think that'll start solidifying everything. I want to see what this Clark is about as well, to see if he can play. Cameron Clark, see if he can play. We gotta find a left guard. I would love to see Adoga finish the season at left guard to see if he can play that position, because they talk about how talented he is. He was with Sam Darnold. He's a young player. He struggled on the outsides. Put him on the inside and see if we can have Eric Flowers rebirth, like Eric Flowers has revitalized his career playing guard now, and he got paid good money to do it now.
Now, my man B. Reich told me to keep an eye on Tennessee. Trey Smith, this guy is the number one offensive guard right in the draft, so going in. 6'6", 330. How do you think that would look next to Becton?
I'll take that. That looks like Flozell. That looks like Flozell the Hotel and Larry Allen.
Scrappy. I'll go with that for sure. All right, we'll keep the calls rolling. J Dub says they're yellow. J Dub is off the show. We've kicked him off the show. Yeah. Anthony says orange. Bart says orange. It's orange. All right, these are blue and orange. I love them, but tell me,
because I'm looking at my Mario Lemieux jersey here, right? And mm-hmm. It kind of has like a
it's black
golden,
and yellow.
It has like a golden yellow. But if you start to add a little orange to it, it can start. It's like, you know, what's that line where the color starts to change? Like, what's the line where red becomes pink? You know what I mean? I think it's somewhere playing in that shaded, you know, part in the middle. You know what I mean? Like red turns to pink.
I hear you. They're called other colors. That's when they start doing the whole magenta thing on you.
Yeah.
My 5-year-old daughter tells me things are magenta. I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Like if I tell, put that red. It's not red. It's magenta.
The most complicated color I ever remember is fuchsia.
Give me these colors. I feel like that's when the Crayola box is way too big.
Yeah,
and just give me blue. All right, just give me blue. I don't need cyan. I just need blue. Thank you. 800-919-3776. Let's get to audio files.
The audio file.
All right, let's just quickly on the World Series. Now, tonight they're off because it's Monday night. You don't want to go up against it's just the off day between. Game 6 Tuesday, and the Dodgers, after their win yesterday in another wild one. What a huge game. Saturday night was a great game. Wild ending, all that stuff.
On an error like that?
Ooh, just the base running, the excitement, all that stuff. Like, it's just, that's what you want. You want action, and we got it. Last night's game, Kershaw.
They got too damn aggressive. Still at home, really?
Well, that's really where we're going. So Kershaw pitched great in this game. Another really good outing for him, and maybe they're going to rewrite the narrative about Clayton Kershaw. The Dodgers do get the win, but up there, so down 3-2, the Rays have first and third. I think it's the seventh inning, right? It was two out, and Margo decides that he's going to try to steal home, which I'm all for it. Kershaw's got the long, right? He's got that long delivery. And then also that you see if maybe you can get a balk out of it. It's aggressive. I love it. But then you wonder, boy, the Rays who follow all this analytics, that's their go-to, and Kevin Cash explains that play here.
I know Kershaw has the real high handset, whatever he does, and I think Manny just felt like he had a bead on it that he could time him up. You know, frustrating inning. Man on third, no outs, and first and third, no outs. Pop up, strike out, and then get thrown out trying to do that. Ideally, we got to find a way to get that guy in to tie the game right there.
He like he went.
Oh, wait a minute!
Full Tropic Thunder. He like, yo, I ain't telling you that dumb stuff. Like, yeah, we got.
So Margo basically on his own in the World Series.
Yeah!
I'm stealing home. You're what? Like, what do you think the conversation was in his brain? Because I'm watching that replay, and the third base coach is just standing there like, where did he go?
He like.
Hey,
so
he came close.
He about to talk to him. Hey, Mark, what the hell? Run, Forrest, right. Run! Right. You better get there running.
It's like, hey, if I'm the third baseman, I'm just looking at the third base coach like, hey, you want to get your guy? What?
You know the first baseman was looking at Kershaw. Get him. Shoot the J. He's like, Prince, shoot the first baseman. Like, shoot the J.
Man, I loved it. Now we got to wait a day to see if the Dodgers can complete the mission and win the World Series. All right, there's that. We're late on time, so let's just jump through a couple of things here and get right to something that I'm dying to get your reaction to, and that is Green Bay smoked the Texans. 35-20 was the final, as Houston is now 1-6. They've lost two since that win after Bill O'Brien was fired, and how J.J. Watt was just about how football's fun again, and that's the way it's supposed to be. Blah, blah, blah. All right, so here's J.J. Watt now, as the 1-6 Texans are facing basically a nowhere season, getting smoked again by Green Bay. Here's J.J. Watt.
And compare it to the ways you'd seen him play earlier in when you guys played against him.
He played very well today.
It's about Aaron Rodgers, obviously.
What did he do that made him play well?
Threw the ball to the receivers and they caught.
Oh, wow, J.J.
Really, this is who you become in adverse situations?
Does someone not sound miserable? Now, trade deadline, Bart, is coming up a week from tomorrow. Would the Texans consider this, and would anybody consider taking on J.J. Watt, who you have been very critical of?
He's not the same player, man. He's been hurt. Like, listen, he's a Hall of Famer, no doubt, you know, with the defense MVPs he got. But ever since he started hurting his back, he's not that. Right now, he's not even the best Watt in his family. The best Watt is in Pittsburgh. You know what I'm saying?
He's not even the best Watt in his family.
I'm just saying. So
his dad makes a good Subway sandwich, too.
It's in the backyard. I heard it's amazing. It's like, and they still can't get the order right. But you're looking
at here every day.
And you look at the fact that he has a $100 million contract, and the fact that you know they have no first-round draft picks, maybe you can get a second-round draft pick and try and get some of the draft picks that, you know, Bill O'Brien gave away and get $100 million off the contract. Now, you wonder,
good luck with that, though.
Who would benefit from that? Hell, I don't know. It seems like, you know, because if the closer he gets to the end, it's only so much old on that. I mean, Tampa Bay's buying everybody.
Yeah, he's 31 now. He's got like his cap.
He's 31 hit. And his back is 51.
Well, he's got 1 year left after, so next year, and that's it.
Yeah, they ain't re-signing him. So they
17
might as well get rid
million,
of him.
17.5 after next year.
So I would trade him like they traded Justin Houston. I would get him up out of there.
Interesting, right? And if there's a team that's, you know, maybe has a need, and maybe he needs a fresh start as well. But something to keep an eye on, that's for sure. But he sounds miserable now. He was miserable with Bill O'Brien. Now he's miserable with Romeo Crennel. He doesn't sound like he's happy. And Bart, as you said, he's not even the best Watt in his family. Which is what a great line that is. All right, that's Audiophiles. Great job, Anthony. J-Dub, come on, you know, put some glasses on. Check that out. I want to know what his wife thinks. Is it yellow or is it orange?
Yeah,
that's what I want to know. I'd rather hear from her. I'd rather hear from Disney Mom Life than from J-Dub on this one. Because I trust women when it comes to color. And that is orange. No doubt about it.
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
All right, let's put our team together off tonight's Monday night game. Hey, no doubleheader today for Monday night, as everybody behaved. So we have Bears and Rams. And for the Rams, a huge game in their division, if you think about it. They're 4-2. Bears are 5-1, Bart. I mean, how much do you really buy into them being 5-1, potentially to go 6-1? But anyways, our team, MVP, will be Jared Goff, our quarterback. And then after that, our flexes. We go Robert Woods. We go David Montgomery, Allen Robinson, and Gerald Everett. It's because we want a tight end in there. So that's our team. That's what we put together. And you and I did not have a great weekend when it comes to our picks. Mainly because, and again, we picked the right teams to lose. We just, it just didn't work out spread-wise. It's amazing. And Parkey, you owe me money, Parkey. Missing that extra point. Are you serious?
You're going to have to see Parkey in the streets.
Definitely.
I can see what this gambling
thing. He and Doug Bryant, two kickers that I don't want to see. Don't ever let me see them in person.
I see how people can hate players, like players in real life, because like they cost them real money. Like, it's one thing to cost me money in fantasy league. Like,
no
you
doubt.
Made me lose my fantasy. But you made me lose real cheese. I don't think I like you very much.
Seriously, you could definitely see that being a major issue for some people. By the way, Jamie Stewart of News 12 tweeted the video that I was referencing about at the start of the SNY Jets postgame of Adam Gase walking off the field after the game, literally by himself. No one within 20 yards of him or more. And he goes into the tunnel, and there's Christopher Johnson waiting for him. And he pats him, and the two of them just disappear into the tunnel. And it just, you know, that's the moment to me. It's like, wow. Like, that's where I just say, come on, guys. Hand over all football decisions to your GM and just do your best to just stay out of the way. Write the checks, support, don't make decisions, please. Not anymore.
Damn, I thought we had another segment, man. It's 12:54.
Yeah. We got about 4 minutes to go here. People are still chiming in on the Kyrie shoes. Now Anthony says they're not yellow, they're not orange, they're flat. You like that? Yeah. And I'm waiting to hear. I don't trust J-Dub. J-Dub now is changing his mind because in a different picture, they look, on the at Barton Hahn, they look orange. He first thought they were yellow. This is definitely is the dress blue or gold. This is becoming.
He ain't got no cataracts, do he?
Moving and all that. You know how it is when you move. You lose your mind. You're not normal again for a while. So I'll give
out. Was he trying to go to trying to figure out if he's trying to get his marijuana card or something? I can't see. It's blue. What?
Who knows? Oh,
man, this guy got glaucoma.
Let's take Neil in the Bronx real quick. Neil?
What's up, Bart? What's up, huh? Let's play imagine for a while. If you guys are owners of a Major League Baseball team, right, and the Tampa Bay Rays took down the juggernaut pair of the Yankees to get to the World Series, and if they do beat the Dodgers, which is another juggernaut payroll, moving forward, would you guys as owners would think about spending Jurassic Park-type money to put a team together to get to the World Series?
I'm trying to understand. You saying?
Yeah, I'm trying to understand the question.
Are we talking about the Mets and the
Jurassic? What do you mean?
Well, is it necessary to have a big payroll?
Well, it depends on who you are, because I think the Dodgers are proving that, you know, they had a trial and error, but then Tampa Bay represents the other side of it. I think it should be a mixture of the two. You should have some cheap players, but
your young guys are your cheap players. It's just like football, Bart. Again, and by the way, there's no cap in this damn sport.
Yeah.
There's no cap. So worrying about payroll is insane. The Rays operate that way because they have to. They don't operate that way because they're like, we're going to show you that we can do it this way. No. This is what we have to do. We're going to have to do our best doing it. The Royals did it for a couple of years and it worked out. Right. Like there are teams that actually have some. It's not long term, though. It's very short term success with a low payroll. And then you know what happens to the low payroll? You go to the World Series.
And they get paid.
Thank you. Glasnow and Blake Snell. Blake Snell got paid. But there are guys that are going to start saying, you got to pay me. Yep. You're getting Charlie Morton on a discount.
A Rosarina.
Like, again, a young guy. Like, so that's the problem is, first of all, you're in New York, you're in a major market. The Mets tried to do it on a lower budget,
and we failed miserably. We ridiculed them too.
Get
Jay Bruce with plantar fasciitis. He don't play for you. Then he go to Phillies next year. Start knocking the cover off the ball.
Yeah, I'm not feeling that at all. Like if you're going to tell me that Steve Cohen bought the Mets at 15, you know, with $15 billion of value,
60 years
and he
old,
buys them at 2.4. And he's been a minority owner throughout this whole mess where they just, they've sort of been on a treadmill, had one good year, and then ever since then, they just really have not been good. And you're going to, I'm going to come in here and just go through it cheap. Let me just do it cheap. Stop it. You get the best because you're in New York. That's how it has to be. And as I open the show, I'll finish the show the same thing. Owners have to understand, the Jets, Giants, Knicks, Mets, all of you. People have been through a lot this last year, and you're going to open your buildings up in 2021. You think people are going to spend money to watch a mediocre product? You think people are just because they can't wait to be in the building? That's why? You've got to have something that people, they're going to make people feel good. And right now, there's very few New York teams that make people feel good.
Cohen has to make them believe that it's going to be different. And he can make them feel it's going to be different by opening
somebody's
up.
Somebody's got to do it.
No, I'm sorry. Not to
I'll
check.
Catch you tomorrow.
Getting them gold bars.
Catch you tomorrow, Bart.
I'll holla.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.